This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by cardiologist Dr. Paddy Barrett, chatting all things cardiovascular disease.
The way I look at this is that the two statistics that everyone should really be aware of is cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death globally and in most developed nations, but it's also the most preventable. 90% of it can be prevented at an early stage if you just follow the right steps and formula. So I look at it as a scary opportunity.
As ever, available on all podcast platforms.
It's that time again as the local and European elections draw near. As far as continental matters are concerned, the list of candidates for the imminent ballots has raised a few eyebrows. A self-styled shock jock.
They're moaning at the waiter. Does that have gluten in it?
A former Eurovision Song Contest host.
Ladies and gentlemen, Riverdance.
And no shortage of anti-establishment headline makers.
Supporters of John Waters gathered at the Four Courts last week for their legal challenge to the emergency COVID-19 laws.
A diverse and novel cast of characters, but some questions still arise before the public take to the polls. Will Fine Gael suffer another shock to the system? Is this the moment for independent and right-wing candidates? And why are there so many quote-unquote celebs on the ballot paper this time around? I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at Mediahoose Ireland, to discuss some of the most intriguing candidates looking for your vote in the upcoming elections this June. So, Kevin, we seem to have more notable names on the ballot paper this time than we've ever had before for a European election. You might even call some of these people celebrities as candidates, if that's not stretching it too far. So let's talk about some of the names that are now on these very long ballot papers. Dublin, Niall Boylan.
Yes, he's a shock jock in the very traditional sense, in that he has been on the radio for three decades. A lot of people may not have heard him. He's on Classic Hits FM nowadays, which, you know, isn't the biggest listenership, but people will know the name. He is well known on social media. He's very outspoken. He appears from time to time in other media. And he is one of these guys who says that for 30 odd years, he has been shouting at clouds, if you like. He has been giving out about politicians. And to be honest, his modus operandi, anyone who's ever listened to his late night radio show, is basically to say that the world is shit and everything that is wrong in it. And whether you like him or don't like him, he says the time has come where he feels he wants to get involved now and try and do something about it rather than just ranting and raving about it on the airwaves.
So a known name in Dublin. What about the radio show that he presents? Is there not an issue there of an election candidate continuing to present a show?
Yeah, and we've seen this in the past. We'll probably talk about some other figures who've moved from media to politics a bit later. But it is convention that if you decide to enter the fray of politics properly, that you remove yourself from that scenario. And there was a kind of a 24, 48 hour period where people were going, hold on, he's still on the radio. And Commissioner Mann, who oversee media now, got involved and got onto Classic Hits FM saying, you kind of got to think about pulling that guy off. And he did step away from the radio show. He got one last show out of it. But interestingly, and in this new era of media, he continues to have a podcast. And as recently as the last couple of days, he's been speaking to a lot of people on that podcast about what's happening with the migrant situation, as if he is a radio host rather than an election candidate. And there is nothing to stop that.
Clarity, who was on at the start of the show, who lives in Mount Street, and her friend was sexually assaulted. She can't go out on her own anymore. You know, they're pissing against her railings. They're dealing in drugs and the guards are doing nothing about it.
So we live in this weird world now where you can't go on the radio, but you can go and present your own podcast.
At the same time, if you're a public figure for 30 years, you will have said things during that time period. And people have been trawling through Niall Boylan's old shows and his tweets, for example.
Yeah, and I suppose when you're talking about celebrities now, everyone leaves a footprint. So it's much easier to see what somebody taught 10 years ago or 15 years ago than it might have been in the past. And Niall Boylan is a controversial figure. There is no doubt that he gained some of his radio listenership by being a shock jock. He says himself he's not woke, he's Marmite, and that some people will love him and some people will hate him. But the people who love his show generally listen in because he says stuff that is a little bit outrageous. But some of the tweets, you know, yes, that have been dug up, one, for example, from 2012, where he wrote, "What's the world coming to when you can't pinch a girl's bum? Yes, it's inappropriate at times, but a criminal offence, are they mad?" Now, that's 12 years ago, but it's certainly not 1980. Put it that way. So that's one of the tweets that have been pointed at. There's other around Jimmy Savile, where he seemed to question the reliability, if you like, of some of the witnesses who were telling their stories about their interactions with Jimmy Savile. And there are other questions about some of the people that have been on his show over the years as well. One example was Molly Martins, who killed Jason Corbett, the Irishman in America, and he had her on the show, and his family very upset now that he is putting himself out there as an election candidate, saying that the way he brought her on his show and the way he interviewed her wasn't right and proper, and she is, at the end of the day, a killer who is currently in jail.
Yeah, and Niall Boylan says other people had access to his social media accounts over the years and that ultimately his job was to provoke debate and that he was putting out provocative statements so people would come back at them. The voters have to decide, well, what were actually his views and what were the things that he was saying in order to get a response?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, he's trying, I guess, now by running for election to put his views more formally. For example, he has a real bee in his bonnet around climate change.
What happened with the ozone?
Well, the ozone layer seemed to fix itself because nobody's heard anything more about it.
He actually did an interview with the Irish Independent after he declared his candidacy, and he tried to explain what his issue there is. And basically, it's that Eamon Ryan is worse than useless, and that climate change is not the imminent threat that the mainstream media, if you like, or many of the politicians, particularly in the Green Party, profess. He says he's not a climate change denier. He just denies that it's a problem right now. It's a problem more for future generations, is his take on it.
Okay, so kicking on to them. Independent Ireland is the party that he's running for. I just made a statement there calling Independent Ireland a party, which seems to be a misnomer. So who are they then?
Yeah, and this is one of those things which actually bugs me, I have to say. There is now this party that has built around three TDs. You've Michael Collins from Cork, you've the Limerick Independent, Richard O'Donoghue, and then you've Michael Fitzmaurice from Roscommon. And they have been maybe outspoken TDs is probably a more fair way of putting it. Rural TDs who in the Dáil kind of work along the similar lines. So they've formed this party, but they're trying to present it that they're independent, but they're a party. So, you know, take from that what you will, because the independent brand is very strong at the moment. We see that in the polls time and time again.
And in past iterations, independents have come together around issues like the health service. Mm. Finian McGrath did it at one point as well, around the economy and so on. So in this case, they share a collective view on particular issues and they're unifying.
The problem is that they don't all really profess from the same manifesto. Normally, an election party puts forward a manifesto, so you're quite clear where they stand on taxation, on transport, on health and all those issues. Bit harder to do when you have this bunch of people. On one hand, you have Niall Boylan being the shock jock in Dublin, and then on the other hand, you have a rural candidate who really is much more focused on the fact, perhaps, that climate change is closing in on the people in the Midlands, for example, or whatever. So it's a tricky line to walk, but that's where Niall Boylan sits.
Speaking of people with broadcast experience and indeed presenting their own podcast at times, Maria Walsh She is currently the Fine Gael MEP for Midlands Northwest, the big success story of the last European elections. But we know her name from 10 years back.
Yeah, so Maria Walsh, last time out, was definitely a celebrity candidate, a parachute candidate. This time she would argue that she is a bona fide politician because she has been doing it for the guts of the last 5 years. But really, she is still known as the former Rose of Tralee, if we're honest. She won the competition in 2014 and she pretty much became a household name instantly. Like, I can't name too many Rose of Tralees in the 10 years since Fionnán, but certainly everyone recognises her name. And part of the reason for that is that in the days after winning that competition, she did an interview with, I think it was the Irish Sun at the time, and revealed that she was gay. And for the Rose of Tralee, that was quite a big moment for many people. It is the Lovely Girls competition. It had rules about whether you could be married, about what age you had to be, about how you're supposed to present yourself as a woman and a representative of Irish women. And she kind of broke the mold in that.
We were tempted to say, by the way, just to get this straight, if you excuse the expression, you know, I'm not.
But I'm bum. Can we even get a little bit of something?
The drummer's gone for a cup of tea.
And from that, she gained a media profile. She was kind of regularly popping up on those type of panels. Got a little bit interested in politics. She said she was kind of looking at a few different things to try out. She went to a Women in Politics event, kind of liked it. And then lo and behold, Fine Gael said, aha, yeah, yes, we're looking for someone, strong woman out west. You'll do, thank you very much. And well, we can talk about how she got elected, but she got there and she's been in Europe for 5 years.
Fine Gael, though, have a new celebrity candidate then on the ticket. If Maria Walsh is now the establishment experienced politician, former jockey Nina Carberry. But what are her actual political credentials?
So Nina Carberry is probably the most celebrity, I think, of all of these. She's been on Dancing with the Stars, for God's sake, Fionnán. So, you know, she is definitely a celebrity in the context of Ireland.
And Ireland's fittest family, of course.
And
well.
Yes, yeah, she's a coach on Ireland's fittest family. Not a hugely successful one, I don't think, but I don't think
she's
ever...
Doesn't shout at people as much as Davy Fitz does. Or look at
No, she looks quite tame when compared to Davy Fitz, but maybe that's true of everyone, to be fair. So she really was a surprise candidate. Leo Varadkar had kind of been touting that he had a celebrity coming into the field. Nina Carberry, nobody really saw that coming. Her political credentials are not huge, if we're honest. She has a stellar career as a jockey, particularly as a female jockey, which isn't the easiest gig in the world, let's be honest. It was predominantly a man's world. But she says she's really going for the farmer vote. She's really saying when it comes to agriculture, she knows her stuff. And the European Parliament has a huge impact on Irish farmers. And that is where she is making her pitch. Whereas Maria Walsh, the other Fine Gael candidate, is probably more in the space of mental health and things like that. So they're trying to be two different candidates. But Fine Gael have played this game before and it's worked for them. And they're trying to repeat the trick. So last time out, Maria Walsh and Mairead McGuinness were the two Fine Gael candidates. And they had a bit of a barney. And they got loads of publicity for it. And they both got elected. I'm not sure that Nina Carberry and Maria Walsh will do that in the same kind of way that the previous candidates. Mairead McGuinness is a feisty candidate and no one shall step in her patch. I've yet to see that Nina Carberry is going to get in a battle with Maria Walsh, even if it's for their own benefit.
What about another outspoken candidate, again from a media background, John Waters? Now, he's running in Midlands Northwest on this occasion and is in the headlines again at the moment.
He's in the headlines at the moment because he is being sued by Kitty Holland, the social affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, over comments he made when he was actually doing a conference for Renewa, the old former party of Lucinda Creighton. But on this occasion, he is running as an independent. Now, it's not his first attempt at getting elected. In 2020, he ran in the general election under the banner of Gemma O'Doherty's group, the Anti-Corruption Ireland, and he got a grand total of 925 votes out in Dunleary. So not a very successful outing. He is definitely one of the most controversial people on the list of over 70 candidates that are running in the European election. He's a former Irish Times columnist, a former Sunday Independent columnist. But in recent years, he has become part of the movement that sees corruption in all arms of the state, that was very much anti-lockdown, had huge questions around what was happening with COVID, how real it was, what was happening with vaccines, and became very much an online figure for people who basically believe that the state was pulling the wool over all our eyes.
John Waters had argued and launched their challenge to the COVID-19 emergency legislation, stating that the laws were unconstitutional. But Mr Justice Charles Meenan described this as absurd. He said that they had not relied on any scientific or medical expertise to back up their challenge.
So that is where he has gained his traction, is in that online world. And whether that transfers to the real world in elections, well, it certainly didn't in the 2020 election, and we'll have to see if it does here.
Now, he did run in the most liberal constituency in the country on that occasion. This time out, he's again a family values anti-abortion candidate. He seems to think that the old Dan and Rosemary Scallon vote is still out there and he can harness it.
Yeah, and perhaps there is something out there. I wouldn't give him much of a chance, if I'm honest. We mentioned he's down the courts and he has that hanging over him because the judgment is likely not to come until after the election. And he has said that if he loses that case, that it could be his ruination. Now, John Waters himself, it has come out in that case, has taken 12 defamation actions, albeit he's never sued a journalist personally. He was involved in what was known as Pantygate, where RTE gave him a payout in 2014. But the most interesting thing about John Waters that people forget is that he was the co-writer of what at the time the Irish Independent described as one of Ireland's worst ever Eurovision entries, which in itself is quite an achievement. It was back in 2007. So if he were sitting here, he might argue there have been worse since.
Ireland at 12 points by Dustin the Turkey, yeah, being right up there. Yeah.
Yeah. So people may forget it was a song called They Can't Stop the Spring, and it was performed by the trad group Dervish, and it finished last, having only got 5 points from Albania.
It wasn't great. Eurovision, you mentioned. Aha, here we
see
go.
See the segue there. Do you see what I was teeing
you
up for?
Yeah, we're getting there. Cynthia Niivoracu, who 30 years ago, basically this week, the Eurovision took place in Dublin, 1994, presented by the late Gerry Ryan and Cynthia Niivoracu.
Landing on the stage, the two co-presenters, Cynthia Niivoracu and Gerry Ryan.
And they introduced an act called Riverdance. So, Cynthia Niivoracu, 30 years later, emerges as a Fianna Fáil candidate.
Yes, originally from Carlow. We haven't heard a whole lot about Cynthia Niivoracu in the last 30 years.
She was on the legal circuit, basically. Yeah.
She was at the peak of her TV career, but she kind of stepped back from that a little bit. And yes, she was a teacher at one point. She spent about a decade in journalism and working as a presenter for RTE. But for the last 27 years, she's actually been a barrister working in family law. So she's kind of a blast from the past candidate, if you like. She's 57 years old and she's... Her reason for running is that basically she said she's reached a point in her professional life where she actually wants to try something different, and she believes that she has the skill set from this. So compared to some of the other celebrity candidates, you could argue that her CV has a bit more depth in terms of the professional world. But look, everyone else will claim they have life experience in different things. So whether or not she will have enough name recognition or enough celebrity factor to get into the mix there is hard to know. But there is one Fianna Fáil seat, you would imagine, in Ireland South. So it's her or Billy Kelleher.
Okay. One definite Fine Gael seat as well in Ireland South. Sean Kelly, currently the holder of that. And look, he's not new. He's well established now and heading for his fourth term as an MEP. But he had a big name and probably still trades off that big name that he developed outside of politics.
I'm not trying to age or kill off Sean Kelly here, but when Sean Kelly's day comes and the obituary is being written, it won't start with Sean Kelly, Fine Gael MEP. It will start with Sean Kelly, the man who had the foresight to let foreign sports into the hollow ground of Croke Park. And look, it was obviously a big moment when Lansdowne Road was being redeveloped and the soccer team allowed into Croke Park. Now we probably don't think as much about that. The Leinster game is this week and everyone's, that's amazing, 82,000 tickets sold out, amazing. But at the time, it was brave, it was a big move, it was a huge historical moment in itself given the GAA's history.
It was a rendition that I'll never forget, you know, it was just belted out.
Well, anybody who was there will never forget it. it was quite extraordinary.
So that will be his big epitaph, to be honest. You would imagine that Sean Kelly can get re-elected. Fine Gael have two seats in Ireland South. Deirdre Clune not running this time. She of the Barry's tea empire, she's retiring from politics. So you imagine as the incumbent that he should be back in Brussels for five more years.
Yeah, but probably looking at a seat loss there, and it'd be difficult to see them holding two in Ireland, Midlands, Northwest. So tricky election, this one, for Fine Gael on the European front, regarded really traditionally as Ireland's most pro-European party.
Yeah, and you have to remember, if you go back to 2019 when the last election was out, in the European elections, Sinn Féin had an absolute nightmare of a day. They couldn't even get an MEP elected in Dublin. Fine Gael flew along. They had Francis Fitzgerald in Dublin. They had the two we mentioned in Midlands Northwest, and they had two in the South. So they basically got everything they could have got. They could not have got more seats in that election. This time, if they come back with three, they'll be happy enough. It's not even guaranteed they'll get one in Dublin this time, the way things are shaking out.
There are other big names, though, emerging on the tickets. Kieran Mullooly, well known by people down your part of the country as RTE's Midlands correspondent.
This afternoon, some of the residents there, now in their 80s and 90s, were outside the hospital with their relatives to angrily protest over a decision to shut it down.
Yes, Kieran Mullooly is one of those guys in the Midlands who, and Jim Fahey was the late RTE Western correspondent. They have this great thing where you used to see them on the 6 o'clock news, and they'd be in Tullamore or Athlone talking about whatever the local issue of the day is, and they'd speak to the locals on the street, and the first thing the local would say, "Well, Kieran," and they'd start to tell you, because they had that instant recognition factor. People loved to see them coming around the place because it meant that their small town, their local issue was going to get on the 6 o'clock news. So always a popular figure, the RTE correspondent. Kieran retired a few years ago. He's been very vocal about the problems that RTE has and had, stuff I guess he couldn't say while he was actually employed by the broadcaster, but he's been quite outspoken in terms of what happened in the Ryan Tuberty payment scandal, Dee Forbes disappearance from the face of the earth and all the rest of it. And then it had been rumoured for months, actually, that he was going to run. There was talk that Fianna Fáil had approached him. And now, as we kind of hinted at earlier, he has popped up as part of the Independent Alliance, working very closely with Michael Fitzmaurice down the Midlands. So his big issues really are around the just transition, around what is happening to the Midlands in terms of employment, power stations closing down in recent years, the floods, the impact on the land, farmers. So that's really his big pitch to people. When he ran, Ming Flanagan, another sitting MEP down there, basically said that this is what you get when you pay your TV licence to nurture the careers of former politicians, or future politicians, I should say. I think he will get good votes there. Whether that's enough to bring him over the line, I don't know.
Kieran Mullooly, RTE News, Abbey Leaks.
Somebody else who actually made a name for himself from RTE, from a show, not necessarily as the presenter, though, was Peter Casey, who featured on Dragon's Den and then decided to go into politics. And he's back. Tell us about his political track record to date.
Yeah, I would say Peter Casey made a name for himself in this very studio, if I'm honest. Fionnán, he has ran for election more times than people realise, I suspect. But most famously, he ran for the presidency as a former Dragon's Den, one of two former Dragon's Den. He ran in that presidential...
Three former Dragon's Den on that occasion, yeah.
I always forget one. In 2018. But Peter Casey, people remember, he came in, he was on a podcast in this studio and made comments around the travelling community, which basically made him the entire focal point of the presidential election.
Why should they be given status over and above yourself or myself? You know,
but they are seen as a minority ethnicity.
That's a load of nonsense.
And everyone else got washed away except for him and Michael D. Higgins. And he came second to Michael D. Higgins with 340,000 votes, 23% of the vote in that election. Now, that was his big platform. That was his big moment. But go back to 2016, he ran for the Shannon and got 14 votes, which is pretty dismal in that competition. So it'll be interesting to see what traction he has now that there are all sorts of candidates in the field that have all sorts of views on immigration, for example, is one of Peter's big issues that he wants to talk about. He also wants to talk about Mica, which is a huge issue up in Donegal where he's based. But again, there are parts of Loudoun where Mica have impacted, but it's not as huge an issue across the rest of the constituency as it is for the people in Donegal who've been campaigning on it for years.
This kind of marriage of celebrity and politics, it goes back a long time. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a recipe for impressive, adaptable success or attention-seeking disaster?
Both is the short answer, because there are success stories and there are disaster stories. You can look at America and you can say, was Arnold Schwarzenegger a success story? I think a lot of people would say, actually, yeah, he did a lot of good things in California. You might look and ask the same question about Donald Trump and you might give a very different answer, particularly, I think, if you sit on this side of the world. So there are pros and cons. But I mean, the most obvious example, and it's completely forgotten about now, is our former colleague, Mairead McGuinness. She was a journalist. She was the editor of the Farming Independent, took a sideways step, went into politics and is now the European Commissioner and a very likely candidate for the presidency next year. Then you look at George Lee. My God, I remember the headlines when it was announced on the 1 o'clock news one weekday out of the blue that George Lee was joining Fine Gael and going to run in a by-election. And he got a massive vote, walked into the Dáil, spent a year. He'd got a leave of absence from RTE. And before the leave of absence expired, he went, this is not for me. This is not happening. I'm not the finance minister. I'm just a backbench TD, and was gone back to his six-figure salary in Montrose out of Leinster House. So there are people for whom it suits, and there are people, I think, who like the idea and then discover that actually politics is quite a slow moving process. You don't get to go in, bang the table and achieve things overnight.
And my thanks to Kevin Doyle for joining me. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Rory Bones. Archive clips from RTE News, Virgin Media News, RTE Primetime and The Irish Independent. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to follow and leave us a review.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.